This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Economists who've been afraid of a possible recession got some encouraging news this morning in regard to prices.
Americans last month were paying 2.8% more for just about everything than they were in February of 2024. After days of heavy losses, a CPI report showing a decelerating rate of inflation pushed the stock market higher. But a dig into the numbers finds egg prices nearly 60% higher than a year ago.
ABC's Jim Ryan, those numbers do not reflect the tariffs on steel and aluminum that went into effect at midnight. Canada expected to announce today $21 billion in retaliatory tariffs. The European Union has also announced retaliatory tariffs on many U.S. manufactured goods of 25%. The latest cuts to the federal government are coming at the Department of Education. Overnight, more than 1,300 Department of Education workers were told they're being laid off. Ukraine agreeing to a 30-day ceasefire with Russia. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The River Valley School District will be asking voters for tax funding to maintain its current educational programs, class sizes, services, and co-curricular activities on the April 1st ballot. Voters will be asked if the River Valley School District should be authorized to exceed the revenue limit by $4,150,000 for the 2025-26 school year, by $4,750,000 for the 2026-27 school year, and by $5.2 million for the 2027-28 school year for non-recurring purposes consisting of paying the cost of maintaining educational programs and maintenance of the district. The district does not plan to add new positions or programs, new buildings or facilities. Lauren Glassbrenner serves as the River Valley District Administrator.
This is not about a capital referendum where it's dealing with buildings or renovations or any of that. That's in our past. That's gone. This is about the programming that we offer to retain the great courses and classes and class sizes that we have currently. So this is about us just keeping going and want to make sure that people are really clear about the difference between operational, which is coming up, and what we had in the past, which is capital. The whole referendum and the operational referendum stuff that we're talking about throughout the state of Wisconsin is not necessarily about expenses and people using the money poorly. It's about revenues, about what we can pull in as a public school system and how we can use it. So it's not about expenses. It's about revenues.
Community referendum information sessions will be held to allow voters to get information firsthand and ask questions. An informational session will be held Tuesday, March 18th at 5:30 at the Middle School Library. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Reese Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers. The former first-round pick signing a 1-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems, including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, my friend? Where are you at today?
This is our office. I rode my bike from Bayview to Washington Heights area, Elite Street.
Okay. Let me ask you... Education department to cut half its staff. Now, I don't know. I got to reach out to Ted, your brother, and we got to get him on to hear his thoughts. But in the absence of that, education department to cut half its staff as Trump vows to shut down agency. The U.S. Education Department said on Tuesday it would lay off nearly half its staff, a precursor to closing altogether as government agencies scrambled to meet President Donald Trump's deadline to submit plans for a second round of mass layoffs. Determinations are part of the department's final mission, it said in a press release alluding to Trump's vows to eliminate the department, which oversees $1.6 trillion in college loans, enforces civil rights laws in schools, and provides federal funding for needy districts. Dr. Craig, tell me why shutting down the Department of Education makes sense.
Ooh, that's a really tough question, Earl. I guess you have to, like, change the frame entirely in saying the point is to break things and to show we can do it and get away with it. Because... I mean, even conservatives, business leaders think education is critical. You don't have to be someone who thinks that education makes a well-rounded citizen and people who are better able not only to pursue their dreams, but to also be good citizens, right? Which I think is the case. But even beyond that, corporate leaders are desperate for well-trained, capable workers and not just trained in one thing, able to learn new things because technology and work styles are constantly changing, and conservatives like to complain about education being broken in some way and therefore needing to be fixed, right? So, and there doesn't seem to be based on any plan, like we want to achieve these outcomes instead of these outcomes, and therefore we want to change the Department of Education in this way. Instead, it's sending a bunch of 19 to 25-year-olds who think they're playing some sort of video game, right, of world making and becoming Elon Musk one day, just to fire people willy-nilly, it appears. I mean, my goodness, when they went to NIH, they fired the people who were working on Ebola, for example, and who wants to let Ebola spread, even if you won't care about the people in Africa, right, who are directly in the line of fire for that horrible disease. And so you're right. If you, it, in terms of K through 12 education, not only does it provide a lot of resources to all districts, it has a special focus, since it was created in 1970 in the Carter administration, to really equalize things and try to help districts that are underfunded and under-resourced and tends to be lower income and marginalized communities, right? And rural communities.
Right.
And so it really is, because you know how it is in Wisconsin, it's true everywhere else, it's true in Illinois. Your how much money you have for your schools depends on the value of your property. And of course, wealthier people and upper middle class people have moved out to suburbs so they can have better schools for their kids and then not necessarily participate in the education of all kids. The education department tries to equalize that. And then for student lending, and it used to be a lot more Pell Grants, but it's become a student loan based system, which is problematic. But my goodness, that is a huge, complicated system. And there are always issues with students not getting the debt forgiveness they're supposed to get for doing, for example, social service jobs that are valued to the community, or going into underserved areas if you're a doctor and go into a rural area or an underserved urban area, and also and all the payment plans and whether they're being applied appropriately. So things just aren't going to work. But since it's there, seems to be their view that government doesn't do anything, it's just corrupt, it's just a deep state, let's throw it out. Then they'll turn around and say, see, it's not working, so we should get rid of, we should drown the baby in the bathwater, to quote one of their theorists, Grover Norquist, on what their ultimate goal is.
So, Dr. Craig, I don't understand. Are they after the $1.6 trillion? To say that states will handle this themselves, does... How does the money then go? Who determines whether how much money goes to each state if it's not the educational department? Who fills that bill now? I mean, do they just drop all of that? Have they thought that through?
Of course not, because they're not thinking about that, Earl. In other words, the idea they have some plan how this is going to work, dumping things on the states means having an excuse and blaming someone else if it doesn't go well, even though states do not have nearly the revenue base the federal government does.
Right.
You want to do things that have a huge repercussion for the future, pay off for a lifetime. Things like education should be more federally funded than they are now, not less, actually. But as far as student loans and student financial aid, the system just isn't going to work. I mean, look at the IRS. They say that they're firing IRS officials, and it's very clear. The research is clear. All that does is mean you collect less taxes, so there's tax cheats get away with things, especially well-heeled tax cheats that, like Donald Trump. Remember, he doesn't pay many taxes, so that makes him smart. A quote. And so, they're claiming, giving lip service to why we have to take health care away from people, Medicaid, because of the deficit. But doesn't matter giving $4.5 trillion in tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires, and then it certainly doesn't matter when we're slashing the IRS and the consequences of damaging the already underfunded education system in this country that's fallen behind our major competitors. It's just destructive. It's hard to see this anything other than just wanton, let's break things because we don't like it.
You know, Dr. Craig, as I've been watching, you know, what is going on, and there's so many different things, I mean, you know, that really are alarming. But one of them is the Democrats are in a position, if they have courage, to not support and let Republicans off the hook with this budget battle, right? I mean, if they have the courage, they and none of us want to see people suffer. But should the Democrats do anything to support Republicans in this government shutdown fight? I mean, Democrats are worried that they're going to be held accountable. Why are they worried about those things, Dr. What should they? Why should they support anything that lets the Republicans off the hook? People are going to be hurt either way it goes, long term with Republican policies, or short term with government being shut down. I mean, I'm not advocating that, you know, you hurt people. But Dr. Craig, people are going to be hurt long term by these policies of Republicans. What is your stand on this budget showdown?
Well, since we have an unconstitutional shredding of the laws and the Constitution of this country, because Department of Education is authorized by Congress, the appropriations and funding in it and the personnel to carry out that mission has already been passed by Congress in law and signed by a president. There's a way to repeal it. It's not just sending DOGE's millions in to start firing people and start reaping havoc. So I think that you cannot cooperate, because this budget is going to, this is going to keep the government funded. But of course, they're saying that it's discretionary upon Donald Trump and Elon Musk what they do and don't do, regardless of what is passed as a law. And so the House, at the first stage of the process, only one Democrat cooperated. That was Congressman Golden from Maine, who's a real moderate. And one Republican who thought it wasn't enough voted no, and he then got primary him. Donald Trump is making threats against him, of course, and Elon Musk is. But in the Senate, they're going to need 10 Democrats to go with them, or 7 Democrats. And it is to be determined. The Senate is a place with a fair number of these kind of moderate Democrats. I don't think they should frame it, and I think they've done a good job of this, as we want to shut the government down. I mean, the Democrats, they are the party of making government work for people, right? But we can't authorize this kind of lawlessness. They've developed all of these proposals without any Democratic involvement, just on their own, right. And they can go pass them with their own votes. And they were able to do it in the House. Some people were surprised by that. But in the Senate, they have to have Democratic votes. So what should happen is, they negotiate with the Democrats in the Senate, safeguards are put in, and then it goes back to the House, and then the House Republicans have to decide whether they're shutting the government or not. Because if the Senate bill is different than the House bill, then the House will have to take up the Senate bill or not.
Is there enough time for all of that to transpire? You know, I'm looking at, Senate Democrats say the 6-month government funding resolution that passed the House Tuesday is horrible, but there's growing sentiment within the Senate Democratic Conference that it would be too risky to block the legislation and risk government shutdown that could drag on for weeks. Senate Democrats battled behind closed doors Tuesday over how to handle the House bill, with a number of Democrats, especially those in swing states, arguing a government shutdown must be avoided, even if it means reluctantly voting for a House GOP-drafted bill. Your thoughts, Dr. Craig, on that? 855-752-4842. Our phone line's open, as always. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Do you enjoy fatty foods, sweets, and alcohol? Who doesn't? Unfortunately, all those things put a lot of pressure on our liver. That's why pharmacist, best-selling author, and nutritional expert Sherry Torkos recommends Active Liver from New Nordic.
The liver is an incredible organ. It works nonstop to process toxins and chemicals from our food and drinks, medications we take, and even environmental exposures. As a health expert, I'm often asked how to support the liver's natural detoxification process and offset the effects of fatty foods, sugar, and alcohol. I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. This gentle plant-based supplement is an effective way to support your liver's vital functions as well as your energy and overall well-being.
With its powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, Active Liver is the perfect way to keep your liver healthy and you feeling your best. Active Liver is available in both a delicious gummy or tablet. You can find Active Liver in the vitamin aisle at your local CVS or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. News from the Center, WRCE.
Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. You know, Dr. Craig, it is complex, the situation that the Democrats find themselves in. But, I don't see, several centers warned there's no clear end game for ending a government shutdown if Democrats defeat the House passed measure, which would increase defense spending by $6 billion, boost funding for border security, but yet cut non-defense programs by $13 billion. I don't see how you support that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the billion-dollar cut from the District of Columbia's budget, I mean...
Yes.
They already don't have the rights of other citizens, kind of a colonial possession of Congress. Now you're just going to, for $1 billion and for just part of a year? I mean, really? So they've already forced them to get rid of Black Lives Matter Plaza, right? I don't see how they could vote for it. It sounds like you had read something disturbing about how they're moving towards that they have to vote for it. But the Democratic position has been, because a lot of Democratic rank and file people and progressives generally are pushing them to do more, and they're saying, but we don't have a majority, we don't have a leverage. Well, here comes the first leverage, right? And so you can't just say that, oh, but we can't look like we're closing the government. No, they're closing the government.
Yes.
Because they're acting unconstitutionally, and if they want to keep the government open, they should... and they need Democratic votes, then they need to find common ground with Democrats. And therefore, there need to be, now we won't get everything we want, but there need to be some restraints on what is going on with DOGE and with the illegal cancellation of appropriated money and closure of agencies and mass firings that make it impossible to supervise and manage programs that are mandated by law.
You know, Dr. Craig, this thing just gets worse and worse and worse, and it stinks to high heaven. What is taking place in this nation? You've been at this a long time, Dr. Craig, and what they are doing is, I mean, they're not hiding anything. They're doing it in broad daylight, and they've taken over the government. There has to be some fight, right? I mean, where does it come from, Dr. Craig? I was talking the other day about a rally that they had here in Racine. And, you know, people on the street with signs. And to me, you know, are we waiting on politicians? Can they turn this around? Dr. Craig, politically, you've already said that they're totally dismissing the way the government runs. They don't think the government has any value unless it's Republicans who are in government. And so, you know, how do you even begin to dismantle it? And it's only 7 weeks.
Well, right. This is a lot of energy here. I think a lot of it's for spectacle. In other words, it's enacting authoritarianism by showing we can do it, right? We have constant action. You can't stop us, and we're going to do. And in fact, it seems like meanness is baked into it, like
right.
cancellation of food aid and you know, infectious disease treatment for the poorest people in the world. This used to be something that what was a great credit to this country. Now it's like there's no empathy whatsoever, right? I mean, except for himself and Trump's and supposed grievances against him, right? And slights and abuses. And so part of it is that traditional political leadership has less of a role when this starts to happen. So I think that was implied in your question a bit. So this becomes a matter of social movements putting pressure on the system. But the kind of leadership we get from elected officials needs to change, right? This is not the old, I go to Congress and I play by the rules and I build up my seniority and I write bills and, you know, I do what I can. That is no longer sufficient. And there's been umbrage reported several times, different media sources, within some of the Democratic leadership in Congress that they're being asked to do all these things. Well, this is the new assignment, right? Maybe you preferred some more docile age of normal business and go along and get along, but that is not the age we're living in right now. And you've got to do something to challenge what you're seeing here, right? Which is a destruction of what is left of the social safety net and of American civil society.
You know, Dr. Craig, Al Green and what Al Green did is what we need to see. We don't need to see Democrats saying we're going to censor him. He shouldn't have done that. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for those to just get along, Dr. Craig, are we?
Well, we're going to stand on some notion of decorum. What kind of decorum is going to take place with DOGE, right? Like there was a smaller aid agency that aids Africa that was not part of USAID. And the Doge children arrived with their backpacks to go and destroy it. And they were turned away by the staff. And so they came back with private security and busted their way in the next day and then went and did what they were going to do. And so, this is decorum, right? Is there decorum with Donald Trump's and J.D. Vance's treatment of a war hero, Vladimir Zelensky, or this various tariff stuff? I'm going to have it. 50% tariff on Canada, no 25%.
Yeah.
Maybe not miss that. And the stock market goes up and down like a gyroscope.
855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will come to you guys, I promise you.
Is news from the center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Greater Richland Area Chamber of Commerce joined the Richland Hospital and Clinics last week for a ribbon-cutting ceremony to officially mark Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital's grand opening. The event brought together several members of the GRACC, the Richland Hospital Foundation, TRHC board members, along with staff and volunteers. TRHC CEO Bruce Raisler cut the ribbon. Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital will be running various promotions April through June as part of their official grand opening. A big achievement for one Dane County city, Sun Prairie is the first municipality in Wisconsin to achieve 100% renewable energy. That means all their city buildings, including City Hall and even the water treatment plant, run on clean power. They use a mix of their own solar and blocks from Wisconsin Public Power. Sun Prairie even has more solar panels in the works. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has extended the deadline for employers to apply for Wisconsin Fast Forward worker training grants from March 11th until Wednesday, April 2nd by 3 p.m. Employers of all types and sizes across Wisconsin are encouraged to apply for this funding that helps address the critical demand for skilled workers. Eligible applicants include public agencies, private organizations in all industry sectors, a consortium of placement partners with the lead public or private organization serving as the applicant, and tribal governing bodies of a federally recognized tribe or band of Native Americans, or an organization appointed by the tribal governing body. Learn more about the Wisconsin Fast Forward Standard Grant Program at wisconsinfastforward.com. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season two, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Another region in Mississippi called the Delta. And we live between two rivers. One was the Yazoo, and the other was the Tallahatchie.
Thank you.
the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is on board. Dr. Craig, before we go to the phone lines, Capital Agenda, Johnson put Senate Dems in the corner. This is in today's Political. House Republicans passed their stopgap funding bill Tuesday evening, which means Senate Democrats can now no longer delay the long-dreaded decision. Do they give up a chance to stand up to Donald Trump or let the government shut down in 3 days?
I think they let the Republicans shut the government down in 3 days. They had, this is just literally extortion. They had no role in developing this bill.
Right.
There need to be that the only leverage to get controls on unconstitutional shredding of the powers of the congressional branch of government, the first article of the Constitution. And I'm reading some of the back and forth over the break. I mean, a number of senators are saying that and members of Congress, but the question is there this mushy middle? But there's going to be hell to pay from the grassroots, that's clear. And so, and there's a lot of criticism of Chuck Schumer and support. Some are happy that he's left it to the caucus to debate out. Others think that the leader should have a strategy. Shouldn't just be sitting there as a neutral party. And how do you get to a consensus in this short amount of time? But this was a predictable thing. If they're just starting to debate it now, and I don't know what the internal workings of the Senate Democratic Caucus are, then that was a huge mistake. You could not just assume that the Republican House members couldn't pass a budget. At this point, Donald Trump is at the top of his powers. His honeymoon is still fully in effect, maybe not as far as the public, but as far as elected Republicans are willing to bend to his wishes.
All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Morning. Well, I think that all this dodgy stuff and this stuff that they're doing, outrageous, you know, break-ins and I mean, the last time somebody broke in, it was a guy by the name of
Watergate.
Nixon, and he resigned.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, and more seriously, what this is all about is they're trying to do a couple of things. They're trying to take the reserve that is kept for Social Security. They want to throw it into the Wall Street casino. They want to do the same thing with any built-up funds that are in Medicare, and they want to keep everybody from thinking about this. They want to keep them thinking about everything else, and maybe even try and figure out a way to cut those programs and simply. Keep people from figuring this out. They're trying to find $4 trillion to give away to themselves and their billionaire buddy. That's what this is really all about. Anything else, that's all distraction. My opinion for what it's worth.
Thank you very much, Jack. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, I think Jack is right about keeping an eye on the ball. I mean, the way I imagine this, if you imagine a small 19th century town when the circus comes to town and there's all the circus elephants and the clowns, and the painted ladies and everything else, that actually that's the best time to rob the bank. So try to pay attention to what matters, but Trump constantly has new magic tricks, new unbelievable things you've never seen before to put before you, so that you don't notice what's really going on. Because it really is a matter of spectacle, and then this testosterone-driven, I'm a man, I can do what I want, I don't have to listen to anyone. So it does have to be stood up to. But we'll see if the Senate, this is the problem President Biden had, having the Democrats are not a unified party in many ways, and they can be mostly unified. Remember, we were really only 1 to 2 votes short of getting a lot more done the Biden administration, but you need those 1 to 2 votes.
Right, right.
In case, are there the 7 Democratic votes to go with the Republicans? There, we already know Fetterman is going to do that, and he's a strange actor. You never know.
I'm really disappointed in Fetterman, man. He is a strange bird. He got in, you know, by the skin of his teeth, and he's certainly shown himself to be untrustworthy.
So I guess we're going to know by Friday, maybe earlier. At this point, there really isn't a public whip count, as they call it. But it's going back and forth. I'm reading media coverage that they may not have the votes to do it anyway. But there's a real back and forth here, and you have to watch independent kind of players. You need to look at Angus King. You need to look at Warner from Virginia. Some of those kind of actors. I mean, others that you'd expect have been outspoken. There's no chance Chris Murphy's voting for this. There's no chance Raphael Warnock's voting for this. Right. I've not heard, maybe you have, Earl, anything from Tammy Baldwin.
I have not heard anything from her. It's really critically important that we hear from them now. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eric from Tulsa is up next. Hey, Eric, you say what, sir?
Morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr.
Good Kennedy. Morning.
Speaking of what they've been saying, you know, the world's richest man, baby, recently called Senator Mark Kelly a traitor over his trip, you know, to Ukraine, who I last checked was still our ally. So I don't know, see how that's traitorous, but it's really time for our elected Democratic representatives to throw themselves on the gears of the machine. A few of them are doing it, and I applaud them, but they got to filibuster this CR and force the Republicans to negotiate. Senators have already been calling for a short-term spending bill. So in the end, this is going to be totally on the GOP, which is why they're out there pre-blaming the Democrats.
Right.
And for the looming tax cut, I think it's actually a bit of a distraction. It's horrible, of course, but really like false choice voucher schools stealing billions of dollars from our public education system creates smaller and smaller budget requirements. Isn't what DOGE is doing just setting things up for the massive budget cuts they're going to make on October 1st? And like public education, isn't the end goal really to privatize everything? And lastly, on a local politics thing, I was at a GOP rally last weekend and saw Brittany Kinzer yard signs alongside Brad Schimmels, and Moms for Liberty, Turning Point Action, and the John Birch Society were tabling there. So could you, Dr. Craig, speak to the statewide elections coming up and what Wisconsinites can do to get the word out before the April 1st election?
Well, I would say to you, Eric, that make sure
you're
tuned in, because I have Brittany Kinzer on what date is it? On Monday. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Sure, I'll respond to the spring election. I agree with what the caller said about the national situation. We have an absolutely critically important race. Our organization, Citizen Action Wisconsin, which has members across the state, is both doing deep canvas phone banking, where we have real conversations, and knocking on doors on weekends. And would love people to get involved. You can find us at Citizen Action's website, or look at our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram feeds. But it's going to be an extremely close and one of the most expensive Supreme Court, the most expensive Supreme Court election in America.
It already is.
The last one has 5 million and counting that we can count from Elon Musk. I've done our phone bank 2 weeks now. We started last week, and 3 weeks actually. And I think that Crawford is doing pretty well. So I'm not saying she has it in the bag, but I'm saying there are a lot of people who know about that race and have decided to vote for Crawford. So I'm not worried that it's going to be a blowout for Schimmel, but I think that Schimmel has a base, obviously. I'm really worried about Department of Public Instruction race, Earl. People have not heard about Underlee. I mean, most Crawford voters have not heard of Underlee. And the Marquette poll has some pretty disturbing stuff about public education for Brittany Kinzer to play into. So of course, there was this needless division where Underlee's bad communication caused a lot of dissent, and then it produced an opponent. And it's the fact that she had an opponent on the Democratic side that brought Brittany Kinzer to the race. Now that she's extremely well-funded, this is the best chance. Wisconsin Right to Life, I don't usually agree with them, but they're saying that this is the best chance ever for voucher supporters to capture Department of Public Instruction. And I have to agree with Wisconsin Right to Life on that. So people should get engaged and be very worried about that race. Obviously, we all know how important the Supreme Court race is.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much. You say what?
I just want to make three points real quick. First, Trump just had the press kicked out of a CEO's meeting right when it's time for him to start answering some questions to these CEOs. Second, does anybody remember the Truth Social post that he made right as we were getting closer to the election, saying how great the market was doing because the big people with big money knew he was going to win? But now all you hear from the paid mouthpiece at the presser is, A, we're dealing with all these Biden problems. No, you're not. He tanked it. And then she has the audacity to tell a reporter, how dare you question my zero knowledge about tariffs in front of cameras. Okay. And now we have the idiot in the White House filming car commercials in front of our White House. I'm disgusted. And Mr. Hess, I sure hope that, you know, your wonderful statements here come to fruition. But the problem's going to be for you, James Hess, is that every time you go to the people in the state for tax dollars for schools, all they do is scream and wiggle and cry. So I hope when your kids, your young kids there, get to public school, that everybody all of a sudden wants to pay more taxes so that your kids get a good public school, because the state should be in charge and we shouldn't give any federal funding to public schools.
Hey,
have a great day.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig will let you respond. Guys, hang on the phone lines. I promise you we'll get to all of you. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with the one and only Dr. Craig on the Earl Ingram Show.
We stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, oh, Billy Joe never had a liquor since. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plant. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We expect our judges to be fair, impartial, to keep us safe. but Brad Schimmel? Schimmel cut plea deals with child pornographers. He blamed underage victims of sexual assault for their bad judgment. And Schimmel joined extreme MAGA Republicans in trying to ban abortion statewide, even for victims of rape and incest. Now he wants us to put him on the Supreme Court, where he could strip away our rights and be a rubber stamp for Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Brad Schimmel, dangerous, extreme, and unfit for the Supreme Court. Judge Susan Crawford knows right from wrong and has spent her life keeping us safe. Crawford protected nursing home patients from identity theft and fought for the rights of workers across Wisconsin. Crawford will always protect our right to choose and is the check and balance we need against Donald Trump and Elon Musk. On April 1st, Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Power to the Polls Action Fund, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Going round, Papa caught it and he died last.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. Let's hit these phone lines. Rita, you're up next. Thank you for the call. Rita from La Crosse.
Hi, Earl.
Hello.
Hi, Earl.
Hello.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I want to say, quit calling them entitlement. We've paid for this our whole lives, and it's time for us. Actually, they're an insurance policy, and they keep calling them entitlements.
I don't disagree with you, and I know that my Social Security that I'm collecting is not an entitlement. So, thank you very much for that information. Let's go to I think we're up to Mark. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Hello, this is Mark.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Earl, really quick, a correction to yesterday, a remark yesterday, and then I want to mention the Democrats. Anyway, the quick correction is yesterday you mentioned that on Monday you were at a Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice rally, but that wasn't RCPJ people were there, including me, but that was not sponsored by them. Just a quick correction.
Okay, I stand corrected. Go ahead, sir.
You mentioned Fetterman. I agree with your remarks. And there's a fellow, he died a few years ago, Sheldon Wolin. He spoke of it, what he called inverted totalitarianism, which in a nutshell equals rule by corporations. You know, they're, quote, people now, and money is speech and all that stuff. Anyway, he characterized the Democrats as an inauthentic opposition. And, you know, when you have actual some Democrats coming down on Al Green, for instance, and there's actually many instances, it's like, it's just nutty. It's just too often they're ineffective. Anyway, that's my remark.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for the correction. Tom, sure. You're up next.
Yeah, Earl. You know what? The Democrats need to make this as easy as a layup. They need to say on media, on the news, on everywhere that they can, that, hey, you know what? You give us the majority in the Senate. You give us the majority in the House. And you give us a good majority in those two places. I'll guarantee you, we're a party that's for good government, that we won't shut it down. But right now, we're powerless. We have no power. We are a party right now that is in the wilderness, and the Republicans have the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. That's it. And stop trying to get into all this word and stuff like that. We don't have power. We don't have power, therefore, we can't do anything. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Up next, Ali. Hey, Ali, you say what?
Well, first off, I think Trump and Elon Musk are drinking too much of their snake oil from the circus there. And I do believe that the Democrats should stand firm, make a plan of what they want out of the bill and what they would put in the bill, and put that in front of the Republicans. And then, like Mr. Craig said, if the government ends up shutting down, it's their fault. And I believe that a majority of people would rather see a week, 2-3 weeks shut down than the continuing chaos that we have right now.
Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that?
Don't have power, so we don't, maybe it's understood that we shouldn't therefore expect them to exercise it. There's a lot of forms of power that aren't having official office. I mean, Martin Luther King had no power, so to speak. Mahatma Gandhi had no power. Most of the major liberation movements to overturn authoritarian governments around the world have not had official power. So we need to exert what power we have, and there is some leverage. Like, they have to agree to keep the government open. They don't have to swallow things like are in this resolution, like the $1 billion cut to the District of Columbia, like the $20 billion away from IRS enforcement, like the massive increase in ICE and in defense spending that is also in this continuing resolution. I agree with that. The other caller had a good point too. I answered a previous caller, Earl, the last caller.
Yes, you mean I think it was Tom. But I don't remember his.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but no, anyway, go ahead, Dr. Craig. You know, Dr. Craig, after it's all said and done, it's trying times. We'll get through it. Will the Democratic Party learn from this?
If it's going to be a serious vehicle, one of the earliest callers mentioned Sheldon Wolin, a great political philosopher. If you understand political philosophy, read his books on them. But inverted totalitarianism, where there's a corporate control that's invisible, that's still going on. And that's something we need to understand. The visible part, as some of your callers have been saying, is all of the visible spectacle of Musk and of Trump, right? But there's still a lot of corporate hands and shaping behind this, which make them liberal. But the Democrats need to be a legitimate opposition party, and they're not currently unified to do it. Some of them are there, some of them aren't.
Hey, Dr. Craig, thank you as always. We'll talk soon. Up next, Jane, Matt, Ned, Greg, Bach. Thank you very much, Cardi. See you guys on tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Albaugh, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Longtime Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen says she will not seek re-election next year, dealing a significant blow to her party trying to reclaim a Senate majority. Shaheen was the first person to serve as both governor and senator in the U.S., and she turns 78 next January. The latest inflation report comes out today. Prices cooling a little. Expectations were exceeded. Prices up another 2.8% compared to last year at this time. It's good news, but says ABC Chief Business Correspondent Rebecca Jarvis.
The report, though, makes a Fed rate cut much less likely when they meet next week because it puts inflation, which had been going up so rapidly, in a place that's more manageable. And the Federal Reserve in this environment is much less likely to cut, meaning those credit card and mortgages stay about where they are.
Retaliatory tariffs coming from Europe and Canada to their U.S. tariff on steel and aluminum. Sherry Preston, ABC News.